Are you hungry for good radio? Starving for sports talk, music, and more? Well, come and join the party on BCR 1090 AM in the Brooklyn Cottage area, or on the web at www.brooklyncottageradio.org. We'll be waiting. Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. Take a drink. It's episode 21 of the Geek Speak podcast, as we are officially legal here on Geek Speak. And I am raring to go here. One more episode until I have reached my age. That is sort of freaky. But anyway, we got plenty of great stuff to talk about on today's show. And also, by the way, just so I can let you guys know about this, it looks like I will be gaining press access to the New York Comic Con this year. So I will be able to do interviews, hopefully, with some of the creators that are going to be there at the New York Comic Con. So that should be a lot of fun, and hopefully I'll be able to give you guys plenty of updates and all of that, which will probably air the following week on that week's Geek Speak. So good news out of there. And some not so good news coming out of the world of software, but in some ways I guess you can call it a good thing. Thanks once again, of course, to David Price, who is my information man, as always, this week. And we are going to be talking about researchers who found that popular applications have mismanaged security, of course. Also, one of the funniest parody movies I have ever watched in my life, MySpace the Movie. Anybody who is on MySpace will know exactly why this movie was made and exactly why it is so damn funny. And I'll definitely get into that on today's show. Also, tragic news, Sony has put its robot to sleep. Yeah, its robot dog is no longer alive, as it were. And I'll get all into that. And also, information on the Internet Explorer 7 beta has been released. And will it hold up to Firefox? That is the damn question that is coming out. And I doubt it. I highly do because, well, it's Internet Explorer any way you put it, even if it is a brand new version of it. So we'll get into that on today's show. And also, definitely need to talk about this when it comes to gaming. The screenshots have arrived for the next Mario game. I gotta tell you, this looks amazing. It was announced at E3 this year, and looking at these screenshots, oh, it is going to be old-fashioned Mario Brothers action in 3D, and you cannot get better than that. It's going to be on the Nintendo DS, and plenty of information about that on today's show. But let's start things off with the technology news. Let's talk about the mismanaged security. And this information coming out of Infoworld.com. And this is one of the stories that was provided to me by my good buddy David Price. And it seems like I will probably end up with a David Price segment one of these days, as it seems most of my news from this week is coming from him. So there you go. Anyway, here is the news out of Infoworld.com. Big name companies like America Online, big shock there, and Adobe Systems, a little bit more shocking, could do a better job of writing secure software, according to a recent report by two Princeton University researchers. The researchers took a look at a number of popular applications including AOL Instant Messenger and Photoshop, and determined that many of them made changes to the operating system that could allow attackers to bypass some Windows security mechanisms. The Princeton team focused on the Windows Access Control System, which determines what types of things users and applications can do on any given PC. Their conclusion? Many programs ask for too many privileges, opening the door for potential attackers. Vendors are making mistakes when they write programs for Windows, said, I am totally going to mispronounce this, Sudhakar Govindajala, or something along those lines. That dude needs a shorter name. A Princeton PhD student and one of the authors of the paper. It's worrying that your computer can become insecure on installation of new programs. An attacker would first need to gain access to a local account on a computer to take advantage of the problems described in the paper, Govindajala says. I really don't want to say his name anymore. These attacks are not exploitable over the internet, but if someone can get a handle of your machine, then one can do interesting things. After years of focusing on Windows, attackers are increasingly targeting the software that is running on top of the operating system, according to the SANS Institute, a training organization for computer security professionals. SANS lists instant messaging applications, media players, and backup software. Backup software, yeah, you're right about that, among the most critical areas for new security vulnerabilities. Another Princeton computer scientist who is familiar with the paper said the research shows just how widespread these privilege escalation problems really are. The MediaMax copy protection software used by Sony BMG Music Entertainment was recently discovered to have this kind of privilege escalation flaw, according to Felton. MediaMax's producer, Suncom Technologies Inc., has since patched the problem. He said, yeah, good old Sony. Had to mention them on the program at least once, and I'll be mentioning one more time on this program because it seems like I mention Sony every single episode of this show. But yeah, not much of a surprise that AOL Instant Messenger opens up holes on your computer, but I'm a bit shocked by Photoshop, considering that Adobe really should know better by now. Making changes to an OS in any way, shape, or form is a way to get into your computer and cause damage. Now, a lot of people, including myself, have made changes to their OS, and I do use AOL Instant Messenger, even though I know that there are better products out there. It's just I got so damn used to it, and that's the problem, too. Now, the one that I use is a hack of AOL, which is actually called AIM Hack, which gets rid of all the ads, all the spyware, and makes it a bit safer to use, but it's still got problems. And as of late, it's actually been unexpectedly quitting on me, which is something that it never used to do. So I'm really curious as to why it's been doing that. It's been ever since I changed my monitor and my settings, so maybe it just does not support a 1280 by 1024 resolution. So if I find anything on that, I'll make sure to let you guys know, because if you change your resolution and run into a similar problem, I want to make sure that you guys get as much help as I did in this situation. So there you go. There are alternatives out there for Internet Explorer, like Trillion, for instance, and Game. Now, Trillion is the more popular one because, well, with Trillion, you can basically go on to multiple Internet Instant Messenger services at the same time. So you can be on AIM at the same time you're on Yahoo, at the same time you're on MSN, and so on and so forth. With Game, Game is a complete reworking from the ground up of AOL Instant Messenger that uses JavaScript, if I remember correctly, to basically perfectly simulate the online experience of Instant Messenger. And I might be leaning towards one of those. I have an older version of Trillion on my computer, and I gave it a shot. It's just, you just get so used to an interface, you really don't want to go anywhere. That's the whole reason why I haven't updated to the Triton beta for AOL Instant Messenger. And actually, once that Triton comes out, I'm going to be going elsewhere. From the looks of things, this thing is just going to be bloatware now, even more than it used to be. And the whole ads in the middle of your instant messages thing really ticks me off as well. I mean, there already is an AIM hack for this beta, but who knows how well that's even going to work. You just got to watch out, folks. no matter what you do. And the fact that it doesn't affect it over the internet is a good thing, but the fact that it, anybody who gets a hold of your computer, like let's say you bring it in for repair, and it's a shady repair shop, and they do something to it, and they get your information, well, then you're sort of going to be screwed. So are they once they get caught, but difficulties anywhere. And I mean, even think about it. Like, I mean, a friend comes over and does the wrong thing on your computer, or you give access to somebody who really shouldn't have access to your computer, and he downloads something, and the next thing you know, every single time you start up, there's a smiley face laughing at you, saying, ha 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 ha, you a weena, or something like that. It's difficult, to say the least. It's a problem that you're going to have to deal with. Security is the major issue with Windows. It'll always be the major issue with Windows. And even when you're trying to protect your computer, you can often make a mistake, which leads to failure. Got to do what you got to do in the world today. And sometimes it's difficult to know what you should do. But again, when I turn towards Adobe, I'm expecting better from them, especially considering that Photoshop is one of the best damn programs I've ever used. And I'm now learning the basics of Photoshop in one of the classes I'm taking here at Brooklyn College. So I'll be able to use it better in the future. And possibly even create a brand new logo or something for GeekSpeak in the future. But it changes your OS a bit. It tweaks it a bit. And now I am a bit more worried about using Photoshop. I was not before, and now I am. That's a problem. Whenever you lead anybody to doubt your product, you are leading yourself to doom. Doom, 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 doom. I'm going to sing the doom song now. It's a problem, folks. So please, realize, companies out there, we don't like you messing around in our computers. We do not like you making changes to anything on our computers without us knowing it. Okay, even if it means that we have to use a different product, let us know. Let us know ahead of time, okay? You'll be better off. You'll probably get more customers that way if they can trust you. And lay off the shady stuff, please. Eminem can do it, not you. He's Mr. Shady, and don't even get me started on Eminem. But still, it's a problem that needs to be addressed, and hopefully it will be addressed. I mean, luckily, Sony got caught in the act, and their product got patched. And a lot of their products got recalled, thank God. And hopefully they're done trying to mess with us. But there will always be a new victim on the horizon. And there will be always somebody trying to mess with you. Batter up, folks. Step up to the plate. Be careful. Don't let anybody on your computer that shouldn't be there. Okay? Okay, thanks, bye. I'm upset. I really am. It's a shame, really. Talking about Sony and then talking about Sony some more. I'm in a bad mood now. I really am. Finding out about this. Again, thanks, David, for the information. Now I'll have to start mourning. Sony's putting its pet dog to sleep. No. The Aibo. And I'm sure everybody in the technology land has heard of it, is no more. Information coming out of CNN.com in their technology section. See? Turner's good for something. The world's first mass-marketed robot, Sony's Aibo, recognizes its owner's face and is programmed for sympathy, like a canine companion. Aww. Its eyes light up in red to show anger. Green to convey happiness. It even learns its own name. That would name mine butt plug. Aibo owners tend to be fiercely loyal too. The robots have even been hacked by tinkerers seeking to add their own modifications. But none of that prevented Sony Corp from announcing last week that it was scrapping the four-legged robot Pet as part of the company's bid to reverse flagging fortunes and cut costs. No! Like so many things Sony has made over the years, the Aibo is a niche product. And since Sony is pulling the plug on robot production as part of a major restructuring, so goes the Aibo. God, they're putting the dog to sleep. It's a shame, really. And the first time that I saw this robot back in the day, all right, I thought just how adorable the idea was and how interesting and intriguing it is. The fact that it didn't catch on nearly as much as it should have is kind of surprising, because in a world ran by technology, you would think more people would like a dog that doesn't poop all over the rug, you know? Instead, get a dog that just listens to your commands and goes to sleep when you tell it to and doesn't dig up the carpet or go outside and dig up your backyard to bury some bones. No, this is a much better dog. Well, just like how we fear having ourselves in robot bodies someday, I guess we also fear having robot dogs, because it just did not catch on. And it's terrible, too, because just think where this could have led us, you know? Robot cats, robot monkeys, robot parrots. Parrots are sort of like robots already. I mean, for God's sakes, we could have had robot slugs. And I would have loved to have a robot slug as a pet. Totally. But damn it, Sony, you have ruined all of my dreams. Stopping production on your robot line and getting rid of the Aibo is a blow. It really is. You remember when Sony was a fun company? You know, remember when they went out there and took risks and did things that not everybody knew was going to pay off in the long run? Remember when they would go out there and try and revolutionize the society that we live in by introducing a new product, not just a rehash of a previous product? They did it with PlayStation. PlayStation was new once upon a time. Remember that? Then we got PlayStation 2, which was a rejuvenated version of the PlayStation. And now we're going to get PlayStation 3, which is a rejuvenated version of the PlayStation 2. You know, it's interesting where Sony has gone. I mean, the Walkman is almost dead now. The Walkman, which revolutionized the entire world back in the day, is a dying fad. It was a fad for 30 years, so I guess you really can't call it a fad, but it's being replaced by the iPod and by other MP3 players. And Sony has come out there and they've tried to make MP3 versions of the Walkman, and it just has not worked for them. One of the main reasons why is their proprietary software. Their software, all right, I hate Music Match. I got to tell you that right off the bat. Sony Music Match is so bloated and takes up so much space on your computer and does nothing. Literally, nothing different than what the iTunes player does or even what Real Player does. And it uses this really odd Sony version of an MP3 that can only be played by Sony players and all that stuff. It's really a nuisance. In fact, I had about 5 free songs from Sony when I purchased my previous Walkman, which I still have, because as I've said in previous podcasts, I do not have an iPod yet. I'm still sticking with MP3 CDs, which is one generation behind everybody else, but eh, what are you going to do? And I got 5 free MP3s with that. Although they weren't MP3s, they were ACA or SMP or whatever they call their proprietary software. I don't know. Whatever the name of their music software was, that's what it was. And I downloaded the program right off the bat that converts Sony music files into MP3s so that I was able to just listen to it that way, because it's better off that way. I hate when companies try to be innovative by creating new formats that are just rehashed versions of previous formats. The MP3 has been accepted for so long now. The MP3 is what everybody turns to. The wave leads to the MP3. That's the way things go. And yet people still try and go out there with their AAC and their copy-protected M4Vs or MP4s or all that other crazy stuff that Apple has out there. And they try and reinvent the wheel. And they fail. It's as simple as that. What Sony used to do was take a format like the MP3 and make it better. Not just change the name of it and add copyright protection to it, because that's just not the way things roll. But this day and age, it's not what they do. I guess this is their marketing strategy to try and get out there and save the company from going under. But in the process, they're cutting off a bunch of their fans. A bunch of the people who once upon a time knew that when you talked about Sony, you were talking about a winner. They're not a winner anymore, folks. The Aibo is a perfect example of what can happen when a company falls by the wayside. It used to have fans. It used to have ideas. Now, it has opinions, and it has rehashes. Sony needs help. The entire music industry needs help. And I really don't know if they're going to get that help from anybody. It's very difficult to say otherwise. But Sony, I really hope your dog is the only thing that's put to sleep. But you might be looking at some changes. You might be looking at yourself being put to sleep sometime soon. If the PlayStation 3 does not wow everybody, then you're kind of screwed. It's a good run, Sony. Rest in peace, Aibo. I love me some parody. Always have, always will. And now, I have found myself a new thing to hug. MySpace the Movie. Directed by David Lear. And you can find it at davidlear.com. And it's also, like, all over the internet. Seriously. It's on YouTube. It's on Google Video. Anywhere you turn. In fact, it's actually been, like, uploaded, like, 8 times now to YouTube. It's kind of sad. But the original copy, the unprocessed copy, the .mov version, or the Windows Media Player version, or any of the other versions, can be found at davidlear.com/MySpace. And the episodes to this are as follows. The introduction is the MySpace photo, that everybody who has ever been on MySpace knows exactly what this photo looks like. It's usually a dude in a strange angle that cannot possibly be copied by anybody with proper joints and limbs, or a picture of a dude looking into a mirror and then taking the picture of him taking the picture in the mirror. And then there's the girl who takes a picture of herself from underneath her chin so that she looks all shadowy and that you can't really see her face, so she looks incredibly hot. And then there's the ones of like a random thigh or something. It's always nuts. But that's the way MySpace is. And the introduction is the photo. And then that is followed by the blind date, which a lot of people on MySpace have experienced. And it's a similar situation to what I just talked about. Girl puts photos up on MySpace with the angles, and yeah, she's not exactly too pretty. In fact, she's disgusting. And hilarity ensues from there. Episode 2, The Bulletin. Episode 3, The Password. And episode 4, The Party. They are all available through MySpace the Movie, or you can watch them in individual episodes. And again, you can find this all at davidlear.com. But it is hilarious. I mean, creative people. Again, just like I was talking about with Sony, there are creative people out there. You just got to find them. Sony's not creative anymore, but there you go. Most of the creative people, they all live on the internet. They all go out there and put their product out on the internet and get people on the floor or make a point that's long-lasting or just do a damn good job at what they do. And this is professional grade here. David Lear put together a professional grade movie that's about 10 or 11 minutes long or something along those lines. Might even be a little longer than that. And I was on the floor. I was laughing hysterically. You could not get funnier than this movie. I might think differently in a week or two. Who knows? Because I'm fickle like that. But damn good job, David Lear. And also, it's funny how movies spread. Because like I mentioned, I originally found this movie on YouTube. And it was posted on a community in LiveJournal, the Raffles CL community. And I don't have to spell that out because I'm sure you all know how to spell Raffle if you've lived on the internet for more than 2 minutes. But found it on YouTube and then realized it was uploaded on YouTube in about 8 different locations. It's on Google Video. I'm sure you can probably find it on a random MySpace somewhere also. And this is the way things spread. Things spread like worms on the internet. And pardon the pun there because of internet worms. But if you know what you're doing, take off every zig. If you know what you're doing, then you're going to make sure that this is an accessible video or an accessible audio or an accessible anything, and that anybody can find this wherever they look. I mean, do you think this really started out at davidair.com? Do you really think they put this up on davidair.com expecting it to just stay on davidair.com? No, of course not. They wanted it to be spread across the internet. They wanted people to get the word and find it and use it for themselves. Obviously, take credit when they posted it on their site or something, but this is what they wanted to do. And they did a damn good job of it in the process. Other things as well, like anime music videos, for example. Anime music videos are all over the internet as well. And once again, I'll mention YouTube because there are so many anime music videos that I found on YouTube. And then I'm like, wait a minute, this is on animemusicvideos.org. And I have a membership to animemusicvideos.org. And I have donated to animemusicvideos.org. And I can just go and download this. And I do. But that's after I watch it on YouTube. Like, I found the funniest video, this Clerks parody, where they take, I'm sure most of you who have watched the Clerks animated series, they take the bit with the flying car and they apply it to an anime. They do a voiceover. The characters end up saying it. It is hilarious. It had me floored like you would not believe because I love Clerks and I love the Clerks animated series also. And I got it for damn cheap also. I got it for 19... Actually, wait, no, on second thought, I got it for 10 bucks at, of all places, Tower Records, I think it was. No, Virgin Records. There you go. Virgin Megastore in the 42nd Street area, like the Times Square area. I got myself Clerks, the animated series, on sale and sat down and watched it, chain smoked it in a day, and hilarious, hilarious stuff. And I love seeing said hilarious stuff move on to new mediums. And that's what they did. You know, they moved it on to a brand new medium, and good for them. They did a damn good job of getting the word out there. And even though it probably was not even them that posted said anime music video on YouTube, one of their fans did. And in the process, it found new people to love it. Just like me, too. Like, I talk about stuff on this show, and then people find out about it. I'm sure there are probably people who do listen to this show that had not found out about Dr. Tran or even animemusicvideos.org, I'm sure people had not heard of. Or at least a couple people. And I'm sure people had not heard of the Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny until they heard me talk about it. Spread the word. That's what the internet's all about. That's what podcasting's all about. That's what vidcasting's all about. And that's what just making videos is all about. If you spread it, they will come. Let everybody know that you have a product. And before you know it, your fans will be talking to fans who will be talking to fans who will be talking to fans, and you'll be famous before you know it. David Lear is now an internet sensation, because most people have found out about MySpace the movie, and now my listeners have. Check out this movie, let me know what you thought about it, and let me know if you cracked up nearly as hard as I did, because oh my god. Yeti, that's all I have to say. I'm sure everybody out there knows my stance on Internet Explorer by now, and I'm sure that there's plenty of people out there who agree or disagree. I mean, Internet Explorer does have its fans, whether I like it or not, and Firefox has its fans, and then there are people who just can't get used to it or something, and then there'll be fans of stuff like Opera, which is a great browser, and then there'll be fans of stuff like Safari, for those people who use the Macs, know all about Safari. And then there'll be even be fans of stuff like uBrowser, the brand new 3D browser out there. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And now, we have a brand new beta out. Just in time for the announcement that the alpha for Firefox 2.0 will be coming out this Friday. Yeah, you heard right. This upcoming Friday, the alpha for Firefox 2.0 hits. But one thing that is a little farther along is Internet Explorer. A brand new beta has been released, and my final David Price story of the day comes courtesy of Tech Republic. Microsoft has released another beta version of the forthcoming Internet Explorer 7, and users have already found several bugs. Meanwhile, Mozilla has released a security update for Firefox 1.5. But the big news this week is actually the lack of news. After much hype, the Kama Sutra worm was a big bust, so to speak. And I'll talk about that as well, as I'm looking at the details here. Again, this is John McCormick's column on Tech Republic, which I've now been reading a lot of, thanks mostly to David Price, who's been sending me news on it. But here is the Internet Explorer 7 news, and I'll touch briefly on the Kama Sutra worm, because I thought that was going to be much bigger than it turned out to be. And in the long run, it was a bust. Well, here we go. Microsoft's latest version of Internet Explorer, IE7, is coming along, and the software giant released another beta version of the browser last week. Any brave souls who want to give it an early try can get a preview copy and download the Beta 2 copy from Microsoft's Internet Explorer 7 website. Innovations in IE7 include tabbed browsing. What an innovation! That's totally never been done before! I'm sarcastic. And a new interface that drops the massive old-style toolbars. Another new feature is a search box that opens results in separate tabs. Again, wow, what a wonderful feature that's totally been never been done before. Right. Thank you very much, Google Sidebar, for Firefox and for Opera and everything else. And now, finally, it'll be for Microsoft. And I'm sure they'll probably try to make you do an MSN search, which is stupid. Anyway, a much-anticipated addition to IE7 looks to be the native support for RSS feeds. In fact, IE7 Beta 2 delivers selected RSS updates to your favorites center. Since this is only a beta version, there's not much use in going into any real detail at this time. The only real news about the impending major release is how successful the new security features work, and we won't know much about them until it makes it to the final release. As I mentioned in previous podcasts, Microsoft has made it perfectly clear that they are not going to go with the internet standards that have been set before them by Firefox and by Opera and by other browsers. They're going to go their own way. They're going to do things whatever way they please, which is pretty much always the way that Internet Explorer goes, and Microsoft in general. Microsoft goes by the beat of their own drummer. You know, they go out there and they do whatever they feel like doing. If they want to make a new operating system a specific way, well, then gosh darn it, they're going to do it that way, even if it's full of security holes. If they want to do a browser a specific way, well, then gosh darn it, they're going to do it that way. DirectX, anybody? Nobody likes DirectX, and yet that was a major part of Internet Explorer 6 and previous versions of Internet Explorer, because Microsoft liked it, and so they used it. And there are already a number of bugs in Internet Explorer, including a very important one to many users. IE7 doesn't appear to get along with McAfee security software, and you can't run both on the same system. Ha! Both companies say they're working on a fix. Of course they are. So already, Internet Explorer 7 is having problems. Again, this is only the beta, so I can laugh about it now, but for all I know, it'll be completely fixed by the time it comes out for real. But Internet Explorer 7 is playing catch-up. That's basically the problem. With Internet Explorer, they decided to, again, do things their own way, and they're waiting until now to do the tabs that Firefox has had for so very, very long now. And they've waited until now to do the search bar that everybody has had way before them. And they're finally doing RSS feeds, which everybody has done before them. So I asked the question, what the hell is the point? I mean, seriously, what the hell is the point of Internet Explorer 7? I mean, sure, there are going to be people out there who like Internet Explorer. Again, I've mentioned this in the past. People, even though it has security holes, still use Internet Explorer 6. It's on every Windows computer. So people who are first getting on the internet, people who first get their computer, are going to be forced to use Internet Explorer 6 until they download Firefox or Opera or any of the alternatives. But there's no point to Internet Explorer anymore. It's past its use. You know, it's just like, who uses the Netscape browser anymore? I mean, seriously, I'll ask you that. And I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope somebody sends me an email and says, no, I use Netscape. It's great. The Mozilla Suite, for example, was great for its time, but now it's incredibly outdated because Mozilla's moved on. They're using Firefox, they're using Thunderbird, and they're also even using, they're working on other browsers as well. Times change. So do the standards of the internet, and so do the standards of internet users. They want security. They don't want to end up with spyware. They don't want to end up with viruses. They want to be left alone to do their own thing. Internet Explorer, when you use Internet Explorer, even with that snazzy pop-up blocker that was added in SP2 on XP, is still Internet Explorer. And even if you add fancy transparency windows to your Windows operating system, and even if you add tabs to your Internet Explorer, and even if you get rid of menus as opposed to small little tabs on top, it is still going to be Internet Explorer. No matter which way you slice a rotten apple, it will still be a rotten apple. No matter which way you fry a rotten egg, it will still be a rotten egg. Internet Explorer is rotten egg material. Just cut it out of your lives, guys. Trust me, you'll be better off. Because I will guarantee you that even after Internet Explorer 7 has officially been released, there will be problems. Okay? There will be software that gets through, and there will be trouble to be had. And good luck to anybody out there who is using Internet Explorer 7 beta right now. I hope you have a firewall, because you are going to need it. You are totally going to need it. And before I end the segment, yeah, the Kama Sutra Worm was a bust. Like I thought, because a lot of people updated their stuff, but the Kama Sutra Worm was a complete bust. It was not a danger to anybody. There might have been a couple people out there who did end up with the worm, but 2 people out of 2 billion is pretty safe. So bring on the next virus to worry about. I'm sure there'll be one next Tuesday or something. All right. I am amazed. I just found this article just now on dig.com, and I have to talk about it on today's show. Because as a fan of gaming, everybody knows about Halo 2. I mean, come on. Halo 2 is the best damn gaming experience out there for the Xbox. And now, get ready for this, guys. Because I'm sure that there are plenty of people out there who love to play Halo on their PC. Even though it's an Xbox game, even though most people do turn to Xbox Live for it, there are plenty of people who play it on their PC. This news straight out of the BBC, who are wonderful, and your version of The Office is as good as ours. Halo 2 gamers face Vista upgrade. Halo fans will have to upgrade their computer if they want to follow Master Chief's adventures on the PC. Microsoft has announced that the PC version of Halo 2 will only work on the new version of Windows called Vista. The decision could make it expensive for many to play the game if they have to buy the new version of Windows and extra hardware for their PC. Microsoft has given no definite release date for Vista, but it is expected to be available by the end of 2006. Deciding to make the best-selling Halo 2 Xbox game a Vista-only title is likely driven by Microsoft's desire to get people upgrading to the new version of Windows. Wow. Microsoft, you have balls. That is the best way to put it. The Vista edition of Halo 2 will offer single and multiplayer versions of the game, extra maps from add-on packs, as well as software tools to create new places to play. The decision to make only a Vista version of the best-selling Halo 2 game could significantly stunt the game's appeal. And I do not blame anybody for not buying this game when it comes out, because Vista is crap. Okay? I am guaranteeing you this. Vista works with a previous code. It's a given, okay? They're just copying and pasting the old XP code in certain places, so you're going to get the same security flaws that you had in previous versions of Windows, and you're going to have the previous flaws that you had in previous versions of everything, okay? Windows in general is a no, and with all that extra security that's going to be on Vista, there's no reason to go to it, okay? If you like downloading stuff off BitTorrent, do not bother with Vista, because you are going to be left in the dust. And the dust is not a happy place to be. I would know. I have been left in the dust before. It's sad, really, that they decided to make Halo 2 a Vista only. Because also, there are going to be plenty of people out there who don't have the money to upgrade the Vista and don't have the money to buy an Xbox, so they're going to turn to the PC for Halo. And now they're stuck with just the original Halo, not Halo 2. Are they going to do this with other games? Are they going to do this with other systems? That's a damn good question. It's a serious mistake by Microsoft. They're going to learn soon enough that gamers don't take this sort of crap, okay? A gamer is not going to upgrade their entire system for one game. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, they do. Damn it! Microsoft knows what they're doing! Oh, no. I mean, how many people bought an Xbox 360 waiting for the Halo 3, which is not going to come out until the Halo movie comes out? I mean, come on. Oh, god damn it, Microsoft. You're smarter than I thought. I hope they're not as smart as they thought. Let's put it that way. You know, if I really, really, really cannot wait to see if this falls into their face and nobody buys Halo 2. I'd love it if nobody bought Vista, period. That'd be perfect. That'd be fantastic. I would dance if that was the case. Because XP is good enough, really. I mean, even if XP does have some flaws in it, they're easily backed up if you know what you're doing. Switching over to Vista, you're going to have major changes. You're going to have programs that will only work on Vista or programs that will not work on Vista at all. You're going to have problems. And Microsoft is going to have problems if they actually go through with this. And as of now, they are going through with it. God damn it, Microsoft. You're either brilliant or idiots. We'll find out soon enough. And in anti-Microsoft news, the screenshots for the new Mario Brothers game for the DS have shown up in a Japanese magazine. And oh my god, I have not wanted the DS until this moment, but as a Mario fan, as a guy who played Super Mario Brothers as his first video game ever for the original Nintendo, as a guy who played Mario 3 to death when he was a kid, I might need a DS now. And I just talked about guys not getting a brand new system just to play one game, but now I'm leaning towards this. No, God, I hate that I'm leaning towards this, but it's the case. I'm looking at this. This is old school Mario play. And I talked about this on a previous podcast also. Nintendo knows what they're doing with this. Okay, they are appealing to the older gamers with this. They're going to get plenty of new gamers, but they're going to get plenty of people who played those old Mario games to come back to Nintendo now. Okay, it's a great idea to bring back that side-scrolling Super Mario Brothers action. This is going to have Mario and Luigi in it. Old style. I mean, I'm looking at the levels here. The levels are totally old style. And old style villains as well. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. I might want this. Either that, or as soon as it comes out, and if a friend of mine gets it, I'm borrowing their DS for the weekend, and I'm playing this game. It is amazing how they were able to capture the audience like this, and capture the feel, too, because I'm looking at it right now, and they basically created another Mario game. Sonic, please, take note of this. Okay, Sonic Team, I know you're listening. No, you're not. Come out there and make a game that is as true to the original as this one looks. I'm a happy camper right now, looking at this stuff. Happy man indeed. I like being a happy man. I like being happy, period. Vista does not make me happy. Vista should not make anybody happy. And yet, there will be people who buy it. Oh, I know it. Oh, God. It's been a long day, folks. And this is just making me even more upset. So it wouldn't be an episode of Geek Speak without at least one segment devoted to comics, and that's what I have right here. And this particular segment is going to be focused upon a part of comics that I have not really talked too much about. And I recently started up a thread on the Comic Geek Speak forums about this very topic, and I figured why not cover it on today's Geek Speak in possibly a bit more detail than I covered it at the forums. And that, of course, is the difference between a pull list and just going to a comic store and picking them out yourselves. Now, a lot of people like pull lists. Pull lists make things easier for everybody. What a pull list does is it allows you to let your comic store know what comics you're going to want, and they make sure to order them, and they're waiting for you when you get to your comic place. You pick them up, you pay for them, and you leave. Simple as that. Well, the other way of getting comics, the more traditional way of getting comics, is to go to the store, browse what they got, and pick them up for yourself. And then pay for them and leave. Or talk to some people at the shop for a while and then head home. I usually go with option number two. I have never really had a pull list at my local shop, which is Bulletproof, as I've mentioned before on the show. And the only time that I've really had anybody pull comics to the side for me was when I worked for this camp called Indian Head back in the day. So I wasn't around all the time. So obviously I needed somebody to put my comics on the side, and my shop was nice enough to do that for me. And when I go on vacation, I'll let them know in advance what comics I'm going to want for that week, and they'll put them to the side. But other than that, I'm there every single week. There's really no reason for me to have a pull list because I'm there every single Wednesday at one point during the day. Now, if there is an opportunity where I miss a particular comic, well, then one of two things happens. Number one, and this is usually the option that pays for me, is there's a grocery store right down the street from Bulletproof. Little schlocky little grocery store, you know, the typical place where you just be able to get a soda and leave. Well, they also sell some comics in the front in their newsstand section. And most of the time, it's the popular books. They'll have stuff like Green Arrow, Captain America, New Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, most of the stuff that sells out quickly. I usually am able to get a copy there, and that's what I'll do if I don't get there in time to get a particular book. Option number two from there is to go to a different place, and I have done that in the past. Cosmic Comics in the City, as I mentioned in the past, is my other store, basically, and if not there, Midtown. Option number three, turn to the internet. And one of those three options usually gets me a book if I do happen to miss it at my shop. Now, the one thing that I'm thinking of doing, and this is actually mostly because of what people on the Comic Geek Speak forums told me, and also because I realized that this has happened a lot to me lately, is for independent comics, for comics that are not usually on the racks, I'm going to ask my store to put it on my pull list. That means that they'll order it in advance because they order their comics 2 months in advance, so I'll have it waiting for me. Fallen Angel is a comic that I've been following that's now with IDW. It originally was with DC Comics, and it's a Peter David book. And I love Peter David, and I love Fallen Angel. And my local place just does not carry it. It's one of the few major Peter David comics that they do not have. I mean, I was able to get Keith Givens' latest comic there, and that's an independent, but was not able to get the latest Peter David. So I've been having to get that either at Midtown or Cosmic, which is not too terrible, but it'd be nice to maybe get a pull list for the Heart of the Fine comics, but for the regulars, there's really no point for me. And also, I find a lot of fun in going into the store every single week and browsing. Honestly, it's really exciting to go there, find out what's new, and just pick them out. I know what I'm getting ahead of time most of the time even, because they do have like a what's coming out next week little list there. But it's really great doing it yourself. You know, taking that initiative and picking out the books and handing them to the guy. I don't know, there's just something about it that almost like takes me back to my youth, because that's the way things started out for me and that's the way things are today. And I really enjoy that process. If I had a pull list, if I just had them hand me comics and I looked them over, it wouldn't be the same. It really wouldn't. I guess that's just my personal preference, but that's the way things are for comics with me. And anybody who, you know, thinks otherwise, a lot of people have responded to me on the Comic Geek Speak forums, and thank you very much to everybody who have, especially the ones that convinced me to possibly get one just for independent books. But yeah, I'm sure there are other people out there who take a particular route for the way they get their comics. And I'd love to hear from my listeners as to what way they do get their comics. But that's the way I do it. And I like it that way. Might be a little weird, might be a little different, but I'm a traditionalist. I got to get my comics myself. And, well, that's the way I roll. What can I say? Now, with purchasing comics, there are a lot of other options as well. And a lot of people that I've been talking to lately, and a lot of people on the Comic Geek Speak forums, and again, that's Comic Geek Speak, not the Geek Speak forums. That's a different podcast, Comic Geek Speak. I do the Anime Report forum, and the guys are now up to episode 103. And by the way, congratulations to Brian Deemer. His wife, Tasha, is now pregnant with their first child. And best of luck to Brian and Tasha in the future. I hope the baby turns out great. But anyway, on the Comic Geek Speak forums and on a plenty of other comic podcasts, the topic of DCBS or other online services come up on a regular basis. And that's obviously purchasing your comics online as opposed to purchasing them at a comic shop. Now, the one thing about purchasing comics online is that most of the time you're going to have to wait until the end of the month to read your books. I would never be able to do that, honestly. I might be able to do that for one or two books here or there, but for my monthly fix, I got to get it weekly. Honestly, I am addicted to comics, and to switch over to DCBS, to have to wait that long, even if there are substantial discounts, which there are on pretty much every single book they have, oh, it is going to take a lot for me to do DCBS. I mean, maybe once I'm out of college and have a little bit of a different influx of money, because I'm currently lucky enough to still be supported by my parents. I'll admit that. I'm 22 years old and I'm living at home and I still have the parents' support, which is really nice of them because, you know, while I'm in college, it is difficult for me to go out there and get a job and support myself with only maybe 3 hours that I'd have free a week, because with my current schedule, I'm not out of school until 4:45 most days, so it'd be kind of hard to get a job. But anyway, when I am on my own, when I am living on my own, which will probably be not too far from now, and I have my own job and I'm dealing with my own money, I might switch over to DCBS. But until then, I'm picking up my comics at Bulletproof Comics or Cosmic or Midtown or in person, unless it's a last resort and I got to turn to online. Doing the whole DCBS thing is just not for me at this particular moment. And again, who knows what the future will bring, but for now, it's in person for me. And that's the way things have got to be, because I love my comics and I love the experience of browsing, because I'm a browser, just like Internet Explorer, only I'm not as broken. It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things. And I have to talk about something that I was not going to talk about, but now I really, really have to. Originally, it was going to be a rant on the Super Bowl, but instead, I have to talk about the situation that came down yesterday about the sports gambling ring that was discovered in New Jersey. And the information that we know right now is that there was a gambling ring, and it was being run by one of the assistant coaches, I believe. If not assistant coach, then assistant general manager, but I'm going to have to double check that, of the Phoenix Coyotes. And the Phoenix Coyotes, of course, are the team that Wayne Gretzky is partial owner of. Now, there was a tape that was discovered of Wayne Gretzky talking to said member of the Phoenix Coyotes about this gambling ring. And this is after it was discovered that Wayne Gretzky's wife had made a bet at said gambling ring on, of all things, the coin toss at the Super Bowl. Now, when you bet on the coin toss, I will guarantee you that you have been betting for a long time and you are addicted to this stuff, and that's why you're betting on a coin toss. This is not a random bet in the middle of nowhere. And she bet $5,000 on the coin toss. And Wayne Gretzky came out and said he knew nothing of this, that he supported his wife and that he knew nothing about the situation. And now the FBI says otherwise and has tapes of Wayne Gretzky discussing said ring. In a matter of a day, Wayne Gretzky has gone from Golden Boy to the shame of the National Hockey League. The National Hockey League just got done bouncing back from its strike. They are back to being a major force in sports. This year has been great for hockey. The new rules have been kicking in and everything has looked fantastic. And now Wayne Gretzky comes in and sets things back another 3 years, in my opinion. Gretzky, you're dead to me. I'm sorry if I sounded like a mafioso when I said that, but unless it is proven without a shadow of a doubt that he had nothing to do with this, which is, at this point, is not going to be the case, Wayne Gretzky has proven that heroes don't exist. Michael Jordan was discovered to be a womanizer, so he's not perfect either. And Wayne Gretzky is officially far from perfect. You're not the golden boy everybody thought, Wayne Gretzky, and because of that, you might have very well damned hockey. The FBI is trying to look in to see if any games were fixed. That is disgusting. There better not be another Black Sox scandal. That's all I'm saying. That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every single Monday from 3 to 4 here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me and Levinstein along with Jason Green, Joey Mags, David and the ghost of Michael Hornstein and the ghost of Freddy Cougar and the ghost of the KFC guy on the Sporting Goods. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. And don't forget to vote for GeekSpeak on Podcast Alley. Well, that'll do it for this week's GeekSpeak. Next episode will be the birthday episode. I only say that because it'll be episode 22, and I'm 22 years old, so that's the way stuff works. So until next week, I'm Ian Levinstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek, and take care, everybody. I'll see you next time. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. This is on Firefox has... This isn't Firefox. No, it's not. It's Microsoft. You know, the Mozilla Suite, for example. Halo fans will have it to it's a me, Mario. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody. Yeti!